The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. All it accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Arnie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Good. Outside for a while today. Could not possibly have a nicer winter day, even though it's spring now.
I thought it was like 1 degree outside when I went outside.
No. It's gorgeous. No,
it was like at 32. One point.
I don't know. What.
Yeah, it was minus two when I drove in this morning.
Oh, it was nice today. That was for damn sure.
Second day in a row. And had a good workout at the gym, spent about 15 minutes in the hot tub with a couple of large, hairy men, and it was great.
I don't want to hear that.
I didn't have any choice. They were already in it.
I hate when guys walk around the gym naked.
Oh, so do I.
Cover yourself up.
No, and there are a lot of them. They'll shave naked, and most of them are about 70. They're like 75.
Do we really want to start the show off this way?
Yeah, I have more to say about this.
You don't have to shave naked. I don't know why you can't put a towel around your waist.
Do we really have to start the show this way?
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah,
let's delve into this. Let's talk about the first 15 minutes of the show.
And you people that talk about the weather and the gym, all you do is make it sound like neither one of you work, because I haven't seen the outside since 9:40 this morning when I got in.
And you know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Take Thursday, Friday off, okay?
Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
Wait a minute.
How about that?
Maybe in the 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Take Champlain Valley Game and only do a half a show on Wednesday. Okay, boom!
Can I be a little frank with you?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm getting a little annoyed if you acting like you're my boss.
Well, I just gave you Thursday, Friday off.
You don't have the power to do anything to me.
I bet you don't work Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, I'm not working Thursday, Friday.
Why? You see that, Rich? Look what
I did. Arnie Spanier, a quarter billion listeners.
What are you talking about?
We're playing the NCAA tournament Thursday, Friday, so yes, I will not be working Champlain Valley Game, but you were not at any meetings where that was decided.
What do you think pushed for that? Who do you think
you would, did not do,
who do you
anything
think went
of
to the
sort?
Owner and demanded
all
you
care about
Thursday, Friday's off,
of
man.
The
sort.
You started talking about getting days off for March Madness. What would you say? Yeah. January?
Yeah.
Probably November.
Ever since we didn't get it last year. That's when I started it. A year ago. Yeah.
But you're going to give him an hour off.
I'm going
to
give him
an hour. So you only have to come. You only have to work from 9 to 8 tomorrow, Brady.
You don't have the power to do anything to me.
What exactly do you do during the day that you work so hard? I'm just
What exactly do you do?
I mean, other than get up at like
sleep
5 in the
noon.
Morning and start looking at stories and
and then sleep
and
again until...
Well, sometimes
until
11.
Your only job is to talk about sports for 2 hours every day. How hard can that be?
Well, he does research. I'll give him that.
Maybe you don't know that I have a quarter of a billion listeners on.
But not on the weekdays. I mean, what time do you get up? Do you set your alarm for 1 in the afternoon?
No, I get up at I get up about right before 6 o'clock.
Go to the hot tub like the rest of the hairy men?
You know,
what you do?
Go work out.
You don't do that.
Well, sometimes.
No.
Once in a while.
Nope.
I've done it once.
Yeah.
I've done it once.
Back in 79.
Yeah, I did it once. You can't say no to that.
And so.
Then I'll have some breakfast.
Yeah.
And then when my wife leaves to work nice and early, I'll go back to bed.
Exactly.
Well, sometimes I'll get a law and order.
And you don't take care of the dogs. I know that.
No, I do because the lady next door complained that we're just letting her out, the dogs out back to bark.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Oh, so. You that guy.
I put him on a leash.
Than a neighbor who doesn't care about their barking
I
dog.
I care about my dog, but what's... Did you know that dogs bark, Rich? I don't know if you know
Not,
that.
They don't have to bark for 4 hours
Not
continuously.
No. I only put it outside for like 10 minutes.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, and then she's complaining that it just barks way too much. I go, it's 10 minutes out there. The dog's got to go to the bathroom.
Isn't the dog named Barksdale?
No, that one's the one that doesn't bark. It's Stanley Barks. Mr. Barksdale was named after Mr. Barksdale from The Wire. And he just died recently, like a month ago.
So what else do I do?
So we've talked about dead people, fat guys in hot tubs, and Arnie doing nothing.
Do you
notice all the content on our website, on our Facebook page, on our social media
accounts?
I just thought
that was Rich that did that.
No.
No,
like
Rich,
I know how.
You don't know that? I thought it was our social media guy that does all
Yeah, that's
stuff.
Me.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's you.
So that's me.
People do have the impression that we have like 15 employees here.
Who?
We are the employees.
No, they're under the impression like Brady does everything and that we don't do anything.
Oh, he does.
who books the guests.
We don't have to admit that.
Rich got us our first guest. You know, Rich got us probably his third or fourth guest in the history of the show.
Who did you get, Rich?
Oh, the trainer?
Yeah, he's Eric McMahon. He's a Vermont native, and he's the trainer of the Texas Rangers, and he's going to join us on Thursday.
Yeah, his dad came up to me at McGillicuddy's on Saturday and said, guess what? My kid made the majors. And I thought he was like the shortstop. He's the assistant trainer for the Texas Rangers, which is great.
You didn't get a Steve Levy, so don't even say that.
Steve Levy?
You didn't get us him.
If anything, you've driven people away as far as the guest list.
You did give us the phone number of Lincoln Kennedy, the old Raider.
Did we have him on?
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
We have him on.
We had him on. There you
go. Isn't it fun working with two brain-dead elderly men?
It must have been a long time ago.
You gave us the phone number of him.
Okay, so I get credit. I get half a credit for that. You know, like sometimes you get partial credit, and the teacher goes, I'll just give you partial credit. Okay, you old batlax, give me partial credit. I'll take it.
I mean, if you want to fill in for me occasionally, I mean, you know, that 4 a.m. alarm.
So. I don't think so.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think so. You get up way too early. I don't know how you have not had a heart attack.
It's because I'm in the hot tub.
No, but that's too early. I used to do morning radio, get up at 3:30 in the morning.
Hideous.
You never get enough sleep. I would come home and nap between noon and 3.
Right, that's what I do.
And 3 o'clock, I'm so groggy. I want to throw myself in front of a train.
Well, as I always say, I take 2 naps, one in the midday, one in the overnight. That's what it's been for, 15 years now? Something like that?
When I had my first job at 6 a.m. and I had to be up at 5 or whatever, I'd stay up till midnight watching games, get up at 5, be exhausted all during my shift, then go home. I only worked from 6 till 10 in my first radio job. I'd play basketball from 10 to noon, and then I'd sleep from like noon till 4. And then you're just completely thrown off.
I am totally shocked at people that go without sleep. I mean, literally, that can just like go with 2 or 3 hours sleep.
And, I don't know.
Like Jerry Jones gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, when you're rich, you're supposed to sleep later. You don't get up at 4. Like he goes to bed at 11 or midnight and gets up at 4. They go, oh, all you need is 4 hours sleep.
Right.
No. Why are you getting up at 4? So they work out. Why you can't work out at 5 or something like that?
And I create the illusion that I'm here all day and night. Everybody hear my voice. I only actually work about 45 hours a week. It's just that there's this. It seems like I'm on all day.
Oh, no, we know you do nothing.
No, okay, well, in that case.
Wow, here he goes. He's getting
upset.
How about
you come in tomorrow morning at 4:30 a.m. and do nothing along with me?
Wow.
Yeah. Come on in.
If I wasn't up looking for stories for the show, I would definitely do that. If I'm not.
You are. You're online at 4:30. You can sleep till noon, and you get up at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
That's just atrocious.
It's just amazing. Is that how I can do all that stuff? It's just great. It has talent out there. All right. We got a lot to do. Lots. It is a busy show other than just saying how I do nothing. So, Brady, what is coming up on the show? What's all that stuff that I sent you? I hope you put it to work. What's going on?
Well, reminder first. Friday, we're broadcasting live from Farnham Ale and Lager in South Burlington. We'll be there 4 till 6. No Champlain Valley game night because of the Sweet 16.
I gave it to you.
So that's part of our 101.3 ESPN Wintercraft Beer Tour. Max Sugar Shack will be there too with the food trucks. We can't wait for them. Before what's on the show today, one of the things you sent me, you're all worked up about, is this movie, this basketball movie bracket.
Oh, I just saw that. I thought it was kind of funny. I sent it to you. Yeah.
The top 32 basketball movies.
I know, Rich, you probably seen none of them, but they do.
I haven't.
It's Hoosiers. It's down to Hoosiers and Space Jam for the title.
Oh, is that they already got their final two? What happened to White Man Can't Jump?
It got eliminated in the final four.
Oh.
White Men Can't Jump, He Got Game, were eliminated in the final four.
There's 32 basketball movies?
I guess. I didn't know
there was Air Bud, Lovin' Basketball.
What was the other one that got eliminated in the final four?
You six. Said?
White Men Can't Jump and He Got Game.
Who was in He Got Game? I get the titles confused.
Ray Allen.
Okay, Ray Allen. Okay. All right, I know who you're talking about. Did they have, what was the one? Gosh, it was Chuck and somebody, and he played a boy was boycotting like something political, so he stopped playing in the NBA. You don't know who
I don't know that one.
That was
Coach Carter was one of them with Samuel L. Jackson. That was in there.
Yeah, it wasn't too crazy about that one. You know,
it was a good movie.
Yeah,
but I like
White Man Can't Jump.
I'd go Space Jam, and I feel like anyone my age would go Space Jam. It's a classic.
Millennials out there, do you have a whole? Do you have all the other 32 of them, or do you have in front of you?
Can't possibly,
no, not
32
in front of me.
Basketball movies.
Oh yeah, there is. There's some good ones out there. I mean, there's tons of.
I've seen 20 minutes of Hoosiers. That's it.
Oh, you missed out on the good. That Hoosiers is a good one. Much better than the baseball films.
Oh, maybe maybe it was just 16. It was only 16.
Okay, yeah, it was 16.
So it was Hoosiers against Space. Let's see. Hoosiers against Forget Paris. That was a 1-16.
I don't even know Forget Paris.
That's UMBC. Of
yeah, Overs. There you go. That's the 1-16.
8-9 was Airbud against the Air Up There.
I know the title. You'd have to tell me what that. But
Airbud is with the dog.
I know that Airbud's overrated. I'm sorry, and I know that the Golden Retriever died, but it was overrated. Yeah,
my daughter liked it though.
Yeah. Well, it was overrated.
Glory Road against Cornbread Earl and Me.
I must have missed those two.
Glory Road was about the maybe the first All Black starting lineup.
Oh, I didn't see that. I bet you we would let you from Texas Western.
Is
that
yeah, Southern was Western.
Was Texas inside, Western. It was inside the last decade.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen that.
Coach,
I didn't even know.
Coach Carter against the Heart of the Game.
I don't know the Heart of the Game.
White Men Can't Jump against Passing Glory.
I don't know Passing Glory.
Basketball Diaries against Finding Forrester.
I think Passing Glory might be the one Alex English was in. So Christopher Invergenz just went in.
Semi-pro against Eddie.
Eddie?
He got game against Joanna Man. No, I'm sorry. Blue Chips against Joanna Man.
Oh, Blue Chips. I can't believe that got eliminated.
He got game against Thunderstruck. The Sixth Man against Celtic Pride.
Celtic Pride was a stupid movie.
Above the Rim against Heaven is a Playground.
Wow, we missed a lot.
Like Mike against Teen Wolf.
I was supposed to be in Like Mike.
Okay.
Yeah. What? Really?
Yeah,
with Lil Bow Wow.
Yeah, Lil Bow Wow was in
Space that. Jam against The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
Oh, I love, Rich, did you not see The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh?
I missed it.
It was back in the 70s. And it was, you have like one or two NBA stars and then a bunch of actors that play on the team. And then they can't play a lick of basketball. But they try to blend in. It's great.
Last three were Lovin' Basketball against Sunset Park. The Pistol against Rebound. Pistol's about Pistol Pete Maravich.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen that.
And then Hoop Dreams against Fast Break.
Hoop Dreams, I forget who, I've seen both, but I don't remember Fast Break off the top of my head. But Hoop Dreams is the one I was telling you about, the documentary they did many years ago. They followed like two or three kids in the inner city and see if they ever made it into the college ranks and stuff like that.
So that is 30,
good one. Yeah.
That is 32.
Okay, wow. That was good. People are already on the... on the Town Fair Tire text line, what about the Pistol Pete movie? You just said
it's
that one.
It's called Pistol Pete?
Yep.
Or the Pistol?
It was Alex English was the one I was looking for.
Former Nugget.
Yeah, former Denver Nugget. And the name of the movie was Amazing Grace and Chuck. You really got to check it out. It was a pretty good one, man. It was funny. It was a good one. Yeah, you did. That was a good one. So, I saw that, and I was hoping that the White Man Can't Jump was going to go ahead and win it, Brady.
As for what's coming up on the show, another NFL rivals popping up. Tom Caron of Nesson at 4:35. Ryan Donato makes his debut, and a pretty good one for the Bruins last night.
Wow.
And national champion and Vermont native Ellie Puryear is going to join the show at 5:25 or so. But first, the Yankees and Red Sox are going to play in London in 2019, and it looks pretty close to happening.
Yeah. Not a big deal. You got 162 games, so we're just talking about two. When did they say exactly this will take place?
June of 2019.
So it's in the middle of the season.
June 29th and 30th.
I was just wondering, is the All-Star game coming up right after that where they get
All-Star game is usually when I'm up in the island. So that's July the second 10th. Week of July.
Yeah. Okay, because usually they give you time off when you travel that much. I'm not a big fan of this. I'm not sure why we're going over there. I don't want to make a big thing about two games. I remember when I was doing Los Angeles radio or, the national, Clayton Kershaw got hurt real bad. Dodger fans not happy about the bad back. Made him miss like about a month. That was like supposedly one of the origins on that because of the flight. I don't even know why we're going to London. I understand some places that you want to grow the game. It's a necessity. I don't know if this is two games out there. I don't know if this is a necessity.
Well, they'll certainly find out if it's going to work because you couldn't possibly put two more so-called popular teams to bring out. But this is a money grab at the same time. John Henry obviously has his feet very much in British soil with his Liverpool team, and I'm sure that has something to do with it.
The thing that
drives me nuts, and I just found out about this, will most likely be considered both home games for the Red Sox.
Yes,
that's infuriating.
Yeah, so they're going to lose two home games.
Against the Yankees, no less.
Yeah, and I think that's a big deal. There's a couple different sides to this. One, we don't have to like it, but it's totally understandable why they would send the Red Sox and Yankees. They're not going to send the Pirates and the Marlins to London because they're trying to get where there's some name recognition in the Yankees and the Red Sox.
And geographically, it makes sense.
There's some name recognition geographically, as you say, it makes sense. they can send any baseball teams to Puerto Rico, to Venezuela, to Mexico, and there's going to be general interest. One, baseball, Japan. Baseball is a hotbed in those places. And two, you have a very, very realistic chance of seeing a player from your country on any team. If you're talking about a Dominican player, a Japanese player, there are players of those nationalities in baseball. So even if you don't latch on to the team, you can latch on to your, quote, hometown player. You don't have that in Britain. Look, I'm torn. I hate this because I just think, you know what, there's some places where we don't need baseball. But part of me is like, you know what, everyone's talking about baseball dying. Let's get as many kids playing it as we possibly can to save it. So I guess I have to be on board.
And they still haven't figured out where they're going to play it. They're talking about the Olympic Stadium. I mean, what's
that's
it going
to be?
Is it going to be like the old Coliseum in L.A. when the Dodgers moved up there and they hadn't built Dodger Stadium yet? They had to play at the Coliseum. It's like 275 to left field. They had to put a net up. I mean, how are they going to configure this? I have no idea.
I think it is going to be the Olympic Stadium, which is, I'm pretty sure, is just regular dimensions.
Is it? Because they said this could be an issue. But I have a huge problem, I'll say it again, with why don't you just make it home games for each team, one game?
Correct. I agree with
that. How hard is that to fix? That's ridiculous. I'd be furious if I'm the Red Sox and those both count home games against New York, of all teams.
Well, you're not talking about the dates. You're just talking about... Because you can't really do it with the dates. You can't say, let's go for one game and then go back for one game. But you could do it with the receipts. I'm sure they're splitting the receipts somehow.
Well, Rich is talking about that they're losing the home crowd advantage twice.
Right.
I mean, they're playing two less home games than everyone else in the league. And not only that, but they're playing the Yankees. That's absurd to me. And it seems so fixable.
Yeah, I don't love...
I'm not crazy about it, but... I understand why they're trying to do, but just why in London? Why do you have to go and do it over there?
Well, because baseball's already popular. Think about all the places.
Yeah, but they could care less about baseball.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Let's see.
Baseball is already popular in Asia. Baseball's already popular in Japan, Korea, Taiwan. There's already baseball being bred there.
Right.
It's already popular in all of the Latin American countries. The only places to expand where baseball isn't already really popular is the Middle East and Europe. And then if you're going to go to Africa too.
Hell, we went to Cuba and it's popular there. We didn't have to go there either. There's places we just don't have to go, whether it's political or not. I was a big time against going to Cuba. And as you just said, it's big time baseball that you're born with a baseball glove in your hand. So
no, I have no problem at all with this. I really don't. I have no idea how logistic, other than the home thing, which I have a huge problem with. But I don't know. How are they going to do it date wise logistically? You're talking about right in the middle of the season, June 29th and 30th of next year.
And see if they don't go on a losing streak after that.
I mean, I guess you take the 28th off. Is there such thing as June 31st? Whatever the day after the 30th is.
July 1st.
July 1st. I mean, you have to take days off on each side, but you can't take 3 days off on each side.
You can't because you got to play somebody next, right?
Well, you can have your off days configured, but then do you lose off days at the beginning of the season? Do you lose off days at the end of the season, of which I would have an issue with? But let's also not forget this. Do you really need to have all those off days? Because I tend to agree with you, yes, but... You could play in Boston on one night, then fly 3,000 miles to Los Angeles and play the next night. It's the same distance it's less distance to fly to London.
Right. That's what this is. This is what this is going to be. Is they'll have the 28th off, then fly basically the equivalent of Denver, L.A., Phoenix, whatever, and then play two games, then come back. Probably, I mean, they're going to have to take a day off the next day, so they'll get 2 days off. But you're right. I mean,
can you imagine? Okay,
it's all just a money grab.
What happens if there's a couple of rainouts? Next thing you know, you're playing like eight games in 6 days or something with no rest, and the whole thing starts to pile up. Let's see what they do before the game out in London, and then what they do after, and see if it has an effect on.
But
them,
it never rains in London. Come on,
that's true. There,
I hesitate to say that it's just a quick money grab.
Well, for John Henry, I guarantee we'd love to grow the Red Sox name in Liverpool, especially. Yeah.
Look, to grow the name, to sell some T-shirts, I understand that. But I think baseball looks at this as a chance to grow the game nationally and internationally. And so that's a money grab, too. But I do think there are some better intentions than just money. Maybe I'm being naive, but I got to think there's a little more to it than that.
Who picks the game? Is it Major League Baseball? Do the owners decide on this? Do
baseball is choosing to send the Red Sox and Yankees. And the Red Sox and Yankees appear to be very willing participants.
So, but you don't have a choice in the matter. It's whatever MLB wants to send. Is it the same thing in the NFL when they say go over there, play also?
Yes. Yep.
And let's face it, there is money involved. The players are going to get $60,000 apiece, all of them, each guy, for just for going over there and playing those two games, in addition to the millions they're already making. So there's going to be money to be had there.
The NFL has a formula, essentially, which kind of puts you in there, puts you in London.
Do you know they also get $100,000 for playing on Thursday night, too, on top of their contract?
The NFL?
Yeah, in the NFL.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they get a little extra there, too. Well, so there's you go overseas, you go to London, there's whatever they get there. $100,000 on Thursday night, boom, boom, boom.
I just find it interesting that John Henry has no problem with giving up the gate of two clear sellouts at Fenway Park.
Well, you said he doesn't get to decide. It's all MLB. So if he loses the gate.
Well, it says the Red Sox have the option of having both games be Boston home games, according to the Associated Press. So that's John Henry's choice.
Well, I guess maybe you're right. They must have to split the money somehow. He can't lose out on two full games. That just can't be possible.
I can assure you someone over in the London area is paying him handsomely to come over there.
Well, they get the gates maybe from London, or I don't know how much that's going to be. Brady, what's coming up next?
4 Minute Football Fix. Is there another rival to the NFL?
All right. We got some football next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Studies show that listening to 101.3 ESPN makes you more productive. And we'll prove it when we get around to it. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. So much to get to. It is a super busy Tuesday. By the way, I was hot last night playing hoops. I just want you to know.
Oh, you were warm?
No,
sweaty?
No, I was just on fire, in fuego. Oh. But as soon as I was...
Oh, you're playing.
And all BS aside, Brady, I'm not kidding around. After hitting like my first 5 three-pointers, that's when my team decided they were going to go away from me and to stop passing the ball. Even somebody that complains, like, why are we stop passing him the ball? It was like the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Now, isn't it interesting he brings up that he hit 5 straight threes on a day when you weren't there to witness it?
Well, he's
it.
Never there anymore.
How many did you actually hit?
I seriously hit about like 5 in a row, and then they stopped passing him the ball.
So you had at least 15 points last night.
No, this wasn't a game. This was just pickup ball. Nothing crazy.
Yeah. I'm playing tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. Are you playing tomorrow?
Yep, at Williston.
Are you going to play? Oh, wow, you're making an appearance there.
Well, you gave me a half show so I can actually get there.
Oh, that's true. I did give you a half show on that. Look at that. Look at that. Anyways. Yes, go ahead.
I miss football. You miss football. We all miss football. So let's talk some football. Training camp may be a ways away, but we'll help you through the wait. This is your 4 Minute Football Fix on The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
I miss baseball is what I miss.
That's for sure.
I don't even know if we had a season last year. All right, let's go.
Goodness. The 4 Minute Football Fix. So there's a new league. It's another new league.
Yes, I saw that.
That's going to try to rival the NFL. So the XFL we know is starting in 2020. Well, getting the jump on the XFL 1 year early is the guy who wrote the documentary or did the documentary, the 30 for 30 on the XFL. Charlie Ebersol, son of Dick Ebersol, the old, chairman, president of NBC Sports, who was actually one of the co-founders of the XFL. So he and his son are coming together. They're putting in a new league. What is it? The Alliance Football League? The Alliance of American Football. Yeah. They're going to debut February 2019. It's going to be a 10-week season in 8 cities. They're going to have 50-man rosters. And I can only imagine what Vince McMahon is saying, because he's rebranded the XFL, and now his former partner is in cahoots with his son trying to take it over.
I'm just wondering, financially, is there money to be made? I mean, could you imagine if you are somewhat successful in going up against, or I know you're not against the NFL, but making money like the NFL, not that much, but a little bit? Like the NFL, how rich you're going to become doing that?
Well, I'll tell you one way they're not going to make money, and I'm pretty thrilled about it. TV timeouts. 60% fewer commercials. I'm in. That's all I needed to hear. I'm watching that league.
That's a lot of money.
Are you sure you're
going to
watch, though?
I want to watch it. You know what I'll do? I'm going to do the same thing everyone does. I'm going to watch the first week.
Exactly.
And that's what's going to happen. The curiosity factor will be big.
Let me ask you, why would you not watch it? Because I know you are watching, because I am, the 3-on-3 league. Are you not? You are watching.
I watch the 3-on-3 basketball league because those are names that I know. Those are names that I have known, and those are guys that I grew up with.
And that was they're all ex-NFL players or NBA players? Is there like one actor?
No, they're all NBA.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, look, when we're talking about Allen Iverson, that's the guy that I grew up pretending to be in the driveway.
Yeah, but he barely plays.
Yeah,
though,
but
yeah.
But all of those guys are guys that I played with on video games. They're guys that I know who they are.
Right.
This league is going to be filled with college kids that haven't made the NFL.
Yeah, but the college kids are better athletes than those old men playing.
Yeah, but I don't know who they are. Look.
Yeah. No, that's true.
This Charlie Eversole league is put together better than the Vince McMahon league. There is more behind this, okay? The investors are real. Former NFL people are involved. Troy Polamalu is working with the player development side of things. Former USC standout and executive J.K. McKay, he's the guy who kind of runs the team side. Jared Allen's involved.
That's John McKay's son.
Hines Ward is involved with this. So there's some real people behind this with real football clout. And they're going to show one game a week on CBS Sports Network, which not everybody gets, but it's still on a regular sports channel. And the first game and the championship game are going to be shown on CBS Sports. So there's a real plan for this league. I think it's put together better than the XFL.
Yeah, but I mean, where are the cities? You know?
That's not announced yet.
Yeah, right. See, that's of interest to me. If there's a team in Boston that I'd be coming. I watch the New England Revolution.
Or is it
going to
be like
Boston?
Portland, San Antonio?
Yeah, look, I don't know.
Right.
Look, the Canadian Football League is a good league. We don't watch it. Why? We don't know all the players. We look at them as second-tier college players and Canadian nationals who we don't know.
Former NFL players are trying to get back.
When's the last time that you watched an Alouettes game?
I only watched it because I was filling in up Toronto a couple years
back. So you're not watching it?
Yeah, I always see who wins the Grey Cup.
You're right. It was like when Doug Flutie was just terrorizing the league. That was interesting.
Outside of Johnny Manziel's Johnny Manziel playing in the Spring League.
Yeah.
You're not watching the Spring League other than to see how Manziel does. Look, this league is put together well. I think that it can succeed, but I promise you, I'm not going to watch it.
Well, isn't it like two players on the same team stealing votes from each other for MVP? Won't the two leagues crush each other and just...
NFL?
No. Vince McMahon?
Oh, the XFL? And
why wouldn't they just combine together and say, look what you did, look what I did? If we really combined it together, we could maybe go up against the NFL or make some money.
And I get the feeling Eversole isn't turning this into what the XFL was, which was this ridiculous wrestling-based thing where, you know, you had McMahon just spouting off. I mean, wasn't Jesse the Body Ventura one of the color commentators? And it was just they were just fooling us, and you could tell immediately that it was just all silly, and they were trying to turn it into wrestling. And they were, it's going to be the hardest hits you've ever seen. It's going to be violent as hell. This reminds me more of Eversole's league, of like an NFL Europe. And I know it's not going to be serving necessarily like that, but where it's actually taken seriously, it's low key, and they're not trying to wow everyone with fireworks and bells and whistles.
The thing that the NFL needs, the thing that football needs to get me to watch it, is it needs to have affiliation. There needs to be an affiliation with an NFL team.
Right.
And I know
I'm that way with baseball.
There's probably not enough good players to have a true affiliate for every single team. I mean, that's what your practice squad is. You know, you don't have enough players to have a full team affiliate league.
Do you really care about that? You don't go to the Lake Monster games because they're the affiliate of the A's.
I disagree. A's, yes, but an affiliate of a major league team, I think, is very
the
important.
Fact that,
do they make do these minor league teams make money? I mean, these football teams are going to make a lot more than these single A, double A, triple A.
Some of them do, and a lot of them are independently owned, so they're able to make their own money and their own advertising and stuff. But look, I'm more likely to watch a G League game knowing that I'll know who the player is and I can track his progress to the pros.
Right.
Same thing with the AHL, same thing with minor league baseball, because once football season ends, I'm rooting for my team. Like I only watch college football for an idea of what's happening in the draft. Like, there needs to be something that gets me back to my team.
The only reason I care about the Providence franchise in the AHL and the Maine Red Claws in the G League is because I want to see if there are some guys putting up numbers that are worthy of going to their Boston parent club.
Yes.
That absolutely matters.
And as far as baseball goes, Arnie, you might not say that I care about the Lake Monsters because they're A's affiliates.
No. Would it be different if it was Tampa's affiliate?
I don't think it. No.
I'm just saying, though, you see the crowd when Staten Island comes to town, it's bigger because they're a Yankees affiliate and there's Yankee fans here.
And Brooklyn. Yeah.
Same thing with Brooklyn because there's Mets fans. Same thing with Lowell because
they're
Red Sox fans. Yep. So those affiliates of the parent teams in this region, and Rich, you'll know better than I do. I bet when Vermont was an Expos franchise, there were more people interested
with that.
Because they were a regional franchise.
Right. I mean, Vermont has perfected the ability to make people come out because it's a beautiful night and because the kids want to see Champ and it's affordable and you get to see baseball. The fact that it's the Oakland A's, I mean, having been there forever, I see. I mean, every now and then you'll see a guy wearing an A's shirt at Centennial Field. But for the most part, I mean, how many A's fans, seriously, are there in the Champlain Valley?
Right, right. You know, for the most part, third-tier sports, invented sports. You know, Brady, I always thought you should try it. My buddy, old buddy, Pat Croce, remember him? He used to run the 76ers.
Yes.
Had like 15 kids.
He started a basketball league where it's a full-court league, but on the floor there were trampolines. And you go, you ever see that, Rich? I don't know if you ever see that on TV.
Slam ball?
I think that's what it's called, slam ball. And you could.
Yes, hilarious.
It's fantastic. It's, that league has been on and off. I don't know if it's still going on. You should try it out for something like
but
that.
But is that a league?
Is that a league,
or entertainment?
I don't know. Is that kind of like what this football league
this is
going to
be? This is going to be real football. This is
going to
be
real football to an extent. There's still going to be some type of entertainment.
The gimmicks are going to be that you have to go for two.
Okay.
There's no kickoffs. You're just automatically going to start at the 25.
Okay, that's fine.
So the gimmick that gets you watching is that the game is much more condensed and shorter because of the non-TV timeout.
And the losing team will start on their own 35.
Oh, 35.
No, with no onside kick. There's no onside kicks.
All right.
So if you, in a situation where you would onside kick, you just automatically start at your own 35, automatically on 4th and 10.
Okay.
That's the gimmick.
Is this going to get more interest in like the Arena Football League? Arena Football League has done itself.
In certain markets, in Arizona, Grand Rapids, places like
Arizona,
that.
Arizona, the Rattlers were as big. I'd seen
Iowa,
tickets.
Of all places. Yeah.
No, Iowa Barnstormers. Yep. I don't know why I know that, but
Kurt Warner played.
Yeah, that's right, Kurt Warner. But it was that's a big league.
It still is.
It's a big league. The only thing I wonder too is how are they? This league's going to start in February, right after football season ends, right after the NFL ends.
Right.
So you're going to have a training camp, presumably by at least December. How are you going to fill out your roster? So it's just going to be all guys that have gotten cut from NFL teams during the season.
You're going to take them from third-tier bowl games.
You're going to get guys from – you can't do that because they're going to enter the draft in April.
Third-tier bowl games that these guys aren't going to play in the NFL, and they know it.
So guys going to purposely not go to the NFL draft and sign here first?
No. Ones that don't think they are good enough to make the NFL or maybe need more seasoning. I don't know. I mean, who else are you going to get
Exactly. So you're not going to have the A-list people. The college kids are going to go for the draft.
That's right, of course.
And you're going to end up maybe with some cut veterans and some cut young players that have that are 6 months removed from the NFL draft. Look. I'll watch it at first, but I'm not going to keep watching it unless it has an affiliation with my teams. That's just how it is.
I don't think we're going to get a lot of that. You'll recognize some names on there. I just thought Central Florida may have some guys that would have played in a league like that because they didn't make it into the NFL or something.
We might know some of the names, but by and large, they're not going
to
be household names.
Affiliation to me is everything.
Yeah.
It's very important.
I have to know there's a chance that I'll be watching them play on Sunday.
Yep. Right, what do we got coming up next, Brady?
Tom Karen of Nesson, our Red Sox and Bruins insider. We'll talk Donato's debut and David Price in the Grapefruit League.
I'm sure he's got a lot to say about that. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Tomorrow, the local sports talk show. Nothing else comes close. Come to think of it, there isn't anything else. The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the Huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN. Guys, let's go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, as he does every week, it's our Red Sox insider, as well as our Bruin insider. It's Tom Karen. How you doing, TC?
Good, guys. First day of spring. Sun is shining. It's 75 degrees. What a day.
Oh, look at him.
Just like here, except for the 75.
Yeah, he's rubbing it in.
And the snow coming tomorrow.
And you're going to be quite the traveler, not this year, but do you get to go with the Red Sox to London the following year? Do you have to go, I'll have a spot of tea? Oh, that's a terrible accent.
I don't know. That's a long ways away. I know I know when they went to Tokyo in 2008, I stayed here and did a pregame studio show at 4 a.m. My
so that
guess is it'll be breakfast with TC from the studio at.
It's like breakfast at Wimbledon.
Yeah, crazy morning show.
Yeah, just like the Premier League games on Saturday morning when you wake up and Tottenham's already in the second half.
So, Tom, what do you make of all that? I mean, the thing I don't like about it is potentially John Henry is saying it's okay if that's two home games against New York.
And how's
all
the
teams?
Travel
Yeah, I was interested by that. I thought, you know, it'd be a split where they each take a game off the schedule, but I guess I'm assuming that would mean the Red Sox would get the revenue out of it, which is, I'm sure, why they're doing it. It's, you know, it's. I mean, the NBA does it. Everybody does it now. The NFL does their games in Mexico and London. You're trying to grow the game. And I guess the Red Sox and Yankees both have pretty good followings in England, so I guess that's why.
But in a split situation where you could have one home game for the Yanks, I mean, you're talking about two games here as opposed to a one-shot deal. Why do the Red Sox give up two home games there?
Well, like I said, I'm guessing it's the money. I'm guessing they will be the home team, meaning they will get the revenue for both of these games. That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
TC, David Ortiz spoke yesterday to Buster Olney, and he said he thinks that Mookie Betts should be the next leader of this team. Like, I agree with him, but do you think that's actually going to happen? Is Mookie wired that way?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, we're waiting to see that, aren't we? I mean, I talked to you guys at the beginning of spring training down here when I asked Dustin Pedroia about leadership, and his answer was, you know, my job as a veteran on this team is to get the young guys like Betts, like Bogarts, to get these guys to become leaders. And I think it's important this year. I think these guys need to step in and be that leadership group. You know, he's not going to be a vocal leader, I don't think, but certainly the kind of guy who can lead by the way he plays, lead by example. I mean, this guy's a heck of a player. And interesting that that's who he pointed out to, but, you know, we'll see. I know that they've spent a lot of time together. David and Mookie have really formed a bond. You know, before David left here, they spent a lot of time talking about the craft of hitting, and I'm sure there was discussion about leadership in there as well.
TC, from day one of spring training, are you more confident now about the Red Sox, less confident, or your opinion hasn't changed at all?
Well, from day one, I'm more confident because day one, we're still waiting for J.D. Martinez, right?
Right,
so
right.
I think that's a big difference. So I'm more confident in that respect. Other than that, nothing's really changed for me. In fact, you know, I mean, in a town that loves drama, the Red Sox have gone under the radar because of their lack of drama. You know, we got the Super Bowl and the players running to other teams, and you got the Celtics, half the team's injured. You got the Bruins fighting off all kinds of injuries, and so they've been dominating the headlines. While the Red Sox quietly have gone about spring training, nobody's complaining about anything. Everybody loves the manager. I mean, it seems to be a pretty good place to be right now. So I think they're in a pretty good position to have a good season. I don't think that's changed.
But there are definitely some questions as far as spring battles with only, a week and a half left to go. I mean, Workman got hammered again today. Travis hit another home run. He's had huge power numbers. Swihart's been good. I mean, who goes where on opening day?
I think Workman at this point probably ends up in Pawtucket, which I wouldn't have thought at the beginning of the year, but I think there's other guys who have stepped in and made the most of their opportunities, and maybe Workman still needs a little fine-tuning down there. The Swihart thing is interesting because I think Swihart, you know, if you read the reports that the Red Sox are allegedly shopping Brock Holt, Devin Marrero, and that makes sense because I think Blake Swihart has stepped in and really become an option as a role player who can do a lot of things off the bench. And then you'll have Nunez who can do all that when Pedroia comes back. So, you know, I think if I'm Brock Holt making $2-point-something million, I think I realize that my hold on a spot with the Red Sox is tenuous because they'd love to shave a little bit of salary off that $230 million payroll.
Tom Karen, our Red Sox Bruin insider at Nesson, with us here on the Huddle. David Price pitched today 5 innings against the Pirates, gave up 2 runs, but how did he look overall?
Well, I wasn't here yet, so I can't give you the eye test, but a couple people I talked to over there said it actually looked pretty good. They said the ball's coming out of his hand pretty good, and you know, no surprise that he'll be the number two starter, that Alex Cora officially made that today. And so I think, you know, I think they're pretty happy with where he is and what he's done so far because, you know, I do think that this is a guy who a year ago was in the middle of all that elbow issue and going off to see Dr. Andrews, and we didn't know what was going to go down. He's had a healthy camp. He's had a quiet camp. He doesn't seem to be complaining about anything, which is always a good thing. We're talking about David Price, so I think it's I think all systems are go for him, which is I think one of the most important things for the Red Sox this year. I mean, I think they need to have a good, healthy David Price throwing, you know, 160, 170 or more innings. I'm not going to say 200, but let's, you know, make sure you're talking about a guy who can go deep into the season and then hopefully be healthy for the playoffs.
What about Martinez? How's Martinez been looking?
Martinez?
JD?
JD?
Oh, thank you.
Not Pedro.
Pedro isn't here anytime soon.
Well, if Pedro's pitching good, let me know. That'd be a breaking story.
Yeah, I would love to break that story, too. JD Martinez, you know, I think everybody's waiting for that home run to show up, the spring training home run. I don't know that it matters here. You know, he did miss a little bit of time. I talked to guys who said he is hitting up the middle and opposite field, which is where his power is going to be. Right center field is where his power is going to be. You know, we talked about that. That's why, you know, I think the power numbers do go down a little bit because that triangle is a long way to hit a home run out of the park.
Yeah.
And the wall is going to keep a couple of those in that he would hit line drives out of the park. So the home run numbers might be down, but the doubles might be up. And I think the doubles going up is not a bad thing, you know, even if it is at the expense of some home runs. So I think everyone's pretty happy with him. You know, he's a guy who works really, really hard on his swing. And so far, you know, he's been exactly as advertised for this team.
TC, we'll get you out of here on this. Bruins lost yesterday, tough loss to Columbus. But Ryan Donato, the kid we've been waiting to see,
woo!
A goal and two assists. What do you make?
Well, first and foremost, you know, this has got to be the only guy who jumps out of college as a, you know, before his junior year is over, signs a National Hockey League contract, but will still probably make less than most of his Harvard classmates when they go off to run companies. I thought it was incredible. I thought the finish on that first goal was outstanding. You know, David and was in a shooting position when he got it back and hammered it without thinking a moment. I thought that backhand pass to Krejci was incredible. And he certainly looked like he belonged, didn't he? I thought this guy's going to add a lot of excitement to this team. I've been telling you guys that when he goes pro. I think it's impressive of Don Sweeney to give him just a 2-year deal to get it done. That's unorthodox. I'm guessing that he wasn't interested in signing a 3-year deal, which is what, you know, McAvoy and most guys in that position do. And now by playing last night, that first of the 2-year deals is already burnt. So you've got him under control next year, and that's it. But, you know, with all the injuries they have up front right now, they needed this guy. You know, it's much like McAvoy last year when they got him and all those defensemen were injured. And you saw what he did to help out. So good for him, good for Sweeney to recognize that and get that deal done and get him locked up.
Yeah, no, he was very exciting, no doubt about that. What a debut. TC, always a pleasure. Enjoy that that great weather down there. Sunblock 80, you know, you don't want to get too much sun.
Yeah, thank you, and enjoy the, I don't know, are you guys getting a lot tomorrow? I know in Boston we're getting back up to like a foot again now.
No snow.
Yeah, no snow. No, we're fine.
We're supposed to be partly sunny tomorrow.
Don't do that to us.
Really?
Yeah. Don't do that to us.
All right. Well, there you go. So my son will be happy, but my wife will be killed. So it all evens out, I guess, in the end.
All right, TC, have fun down there. We'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. Tom Karen, everybody. Yeah, Donato, what a man.
I'm still trying to come down from that Marchand penalty that didn't get called
that's
in the overtime.
I'm
still fuming. But anyway, yeah, it's very encouraging. And boy, do they need him right now. They just need bodies at this point.
Oh, he was excited, no doubt about that. What did you want to say, Brady?
We got the Champlain Valley Auction.
Oh, yeah. Tell everybody about the auction real quick.
The auction is back. Remember, you can save up to 75% on local dining, retail, skiing, grocery, fitness, spa, grocery, cars, health, overnight stays, whatever you want, basically. It's online. It ends on Friday at noon. You can go to 1013ESPN.com for the link to the Champlain Valley Auction. And eventually, Rich, it's going to get sunny and warm out. So how about this one? A full day of unlimited golfing at Stowe Country Club with a cart and all the practice balls that you want. Bidding starts at just $52. All unlimited golfing,
ridiculous.
Cart, practice balls.
I don't
balls.
Even play golf. I would do that.
Yeah.
I feel like I'll do that.
That's unreal. And, I mean, some of these dining, they have 878 dining deals. I mean, Bark Eaters, $50 gift certificates, $20. The Rotisserie in South Burlington. These are places you go anyway. $50 gift certificate,
nice.
$20. Hello.
Check it on out. Go to the website. Go ahead and bid on something. Have some fun and save some money. Come back. We'll finish off hour number one with Gone But Not Forgotten. Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier. That's coming up next right here on 101.3.
It's Tuesday, which means it's time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Brought to you by Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington.
All right, thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier, open 24/7 in South Burlington. In your time of need, give them a call, our friends over at Elmwood Meunier. All right, a couple of things I want to go ahead and get to. I will start with this. Death. What happened to the music? No music for my death? What happened to my death?
No music for my death?
For my death of my Arizona Wildcats.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Who died in the NCAA tournament.
Gone but not forgotten.
And you're still crying about it.
We may be gone forever now. We may never recover from something like that if we lose our coach, but they haven't fired him yet. Can I get to, I want to add two more deaths.
Okay.
Is this one premature? Can I add a death before they die?
Are they not dead?
They're not dead.
Oh.
I was going to say death to you. It looks like the Boston Celtics. Because of what we just found out about Kyrie.
Disgusting.
Are we going to bring that up at the top of the hour?
Well, there's just a report out that Kyrie might need the screws that are in his knee out.
Yeah, to the Celtics.
If he does need them out, then that's not good news because that might mean he might not be able to play for the rest of the year, it sounds like.
And Rich, going on your barking on your side of the woods there, if that makes any sense.
Barking on my side of the woods. Go ahead.
The Crusaders. Say goodbye to the Crusaders of Sacred Heart.
Oh, the PC Patrol has
struck
again.
The PC Patrol, they're going to go ahead. They want to get rid of the Knight. Is that what it is? Is that what the
thing is? Oh, it's Holy Cross, actually.
Holy Cross is the Crusaders.
It's a little different. What they do is they decided that they wouldn't. Now, are they going to be called? They're still called the Crusaders, but they're getting rid of the logo.
Well, it used to be called the Tomahawk was the paper there, and they changed that. Because that wasn't PC enough. No. I don't think if you would just go to like the Wildcats or the Bears, and then you wouldn't have to change it every 30 or 40 years. You know what I'm saying?
And I was so proud of the Danville Indians for being in the championship game last night. They're not budging.
Yeah, why do some teams have to budge and some teams don't have to budge?
I don't know.
All right,
there you go. Good for you, Danville. Hang in there.
All right, go ahead.
And speaking of which, it's similar, gone but not forgotten, the grip on what's politically correct. Washington Governor Jay Inslee. It slipped and revealed Seattle's NHL team name last week. This was supposed to be top secret when he was discussing a high-speed rail between Seattle and Vancouver. And some fans are furious about the name. He says, "We cannot wait to get on a high-speed rail line to come up and have the greatest hockey rivalry in North America between the Seattle Totems and the Vancouver Canucks." They are going to be the Seattle Totems.
But that's an old name.
But is that a good idea with that Native American imagery as a mascot at this time?
Well, what's a totem?
I assume it's like a totem pole. Isn't that Native American imagery?
I thought a totem pole was Hawaiian.
I don't know. That's why I asked you what a totem. I don't know. But that's an old Seattle name.
That was the name of the team back like in the
20s. Yeah, if you think it was offensive, you wouldn't bring back the offensive name also.
You wouldn't think
so. A totem pole is a pole on which totems are hung. Well, I guess.
There it is. A totem is a spirit being, sacred object, or symbol that serves as an emblem of a group of people, such as a family, clan, lineage, or tribe.
I saw this on the Brady Bunch when they found the little thing. Is that a totem there?
I remember that.
And they got a bunch of bad luck after that.
But the thing I laughed
about. It does not
have
to be Native American.
Well, but the thing I laughed most about is the idea that he's trying to come up with a rivalry, this incredible rivalry between Vancouver and Seattle. I saw the Canucks in Phoenix last week. They are horrible.
All right,
well, maybe they won't be next year or in 5 years when Seattle might be good. Gone but not forgotten. Yeah. The world's last male northern white rhino.
I saw this.
Its name was Sudan, and it died at the age of 45 years old. There are two living female white rhinos, so they've tried to repopulate. Well, they made the male white rhino the most eligible bachelor at one point to help him repopulate, and they also took his DNA so they could try to I hope that the white rhinos are not extinct now. I hope that they were able to get some of the DNA and, repopulate.
What's 45 in rhino years?
I don't know. I mean, we should bring back the dinosaurs.
Poor guy.
Get the DNA
out. He was in such a great position, but he was also 45.
Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier. Give them a call in South Burlington in your time in need. Open 24/7. Hour one of the books. Brady's going to have a Sports Center update. We'll get you ready for hour two right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Golic and Wingo when you drive in, and the Huddle when you drive home. And you can always be part of the show by calling or texting at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, hour two of the show. Welcome back. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Busy hour for you. If you want to get in the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. We had a lot on the movies when we started that off on the best sport. Wasn't it the best sports movies?
Best basketball.
Basketball movies.
See, he's saying that because he's the one that brought it up and he wants everyone to.
No, actually, I just said that the Brady, without even really looking at it, because I saw that White Man Can't Jump. By the way, can you imagine making a movie like that as a title with the PC police come out of the woodwork? White Man Can't Jump, man. Can you imagine what the PC police would do for something like that? I would love to see that. So, oh, by the way, give a shout out to intern Devin listening to us in
Tokyo.
Tokyo.
Wow. So she's still there.
It's like 4 a.m. in Tokyo.
And she's listening.
Yeah, I hear she goes, I was looking at her Facebook page. She goes to McDonald's a lot. She said, it's French fries and stuff like that. So, yeah.
You know, St. Michael's finest. Hi, Devin.
You know, when you go overseas, you always look for the local KFC, the local McDonald's, you know, anything for any familiarity. You know,
they've also put out a movie bracket for just sports movies.
Oh, did they? What's their final four on that?
No, it hasn't started yet. Oh, they've just given it to us now. The one seeds are Rocky.
Hoosiers. Oh, that's the best ever.
Rocky, Hoosiers.
Hoosiers overrated.
Remember the Titans and Field of Dreams. Those are the one seeds.
Where's Bull Durham?
I'm sorry, I don't like Field of Dreams at all. I don't want to watch it. I never want to watch. I don't stop if it's on. I'm not a big Field of Dreams fan. It's not.
You're not a baseball romantic.
I just didn't get into it. It wasn't I'm sure Brady loved it.
I like it, yeah.
Of course, I knew you did.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't stand
it. Those people who own those houses out in Iowa sure enjoy it now. Yeah. They're laughing all the way to the bank.
In this one, so Rocky, Remember the Titans, Field of Dreams, Hoosiers, the one seeds. Rudy, Space Jam, Caddyshack, and the Sandlot are two seeds.
We're Slapshot.
Caddyshack's a little overrated.
Three seed, Major League, Miracle, Rocky II, and Happy Gilmore. Four, Friday Night Lights, Talladega Nights, A League of Their Own, and Any Given Sunday.
I actually liked A League of Their Own.
That was funny.
Yeah,
the
was
fifth
good.
Seeds, Coach Carter, Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire.
Oh, yeah.
We Are Marshall.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Raging Bull.
Okay, yeah. I didn't see Raging Bull.
Six seeds, The Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks.
The Water Boy.
What? You can do it! You can do it!
Dodgeball. And The Blind Side.
Dodgeball was stupid, but it was funny.
Slapshot, not in the top six.
Yeah, Slapshot's the best ever.
Seven seeds, White Men Can't Jump, Moneyball, Lovin' Basketball, The Karate Kid.
Oh, yeah, Daniel-san.
And the eighth seed, Cool Runnings, The Longest Yard, Bring It On, and Bend It Like Beckham.
Bend It Like Beckham made it over Slapshot?
So Slapshot isn't even in the running.
Not even in the top 32.
You can't take that seriously.
Cool Runnings was okay.
Cool Runnings was phenomenal.
But no Slapshot? No, you can't take that list then. There's no credibility.
What you just said doesn't even matter.
You wasted time.
Now.
Yeah, you wasted 5 minutes of our time.
It doesn't count.
Slapshot would be like a two seed or something like that.
They were eliminated in their conference tournament.
Slapshot's Middle Tennessee. They got snubbed by the tournament. I can't understand how something like that. How you can't have a movie like that in there. Absolutely disgusting. Brady, tell everybody where we're going to be this week.
Yeah, Friday we're going to be broadcasting live from Farnham Ale and Lager. We'll be there from 4 till 6. It's out in South Burlington, so not far away. It's part of our 101.3 ESPN Wintercraft Beer Tour. Max Sugar Shack is going to be there also with their food truck. So they've got their famous taco in a bag, which, trust me, I don't know how it sounds to you, but I'm telling you it's delicious, so I recommend that heavily. And it's also pet-friendly, so all the dogs can come too.
I may have to bring Stanley and Mr. Barksdale. So. But I'm afraid Stanley's going to eat everybody. I'm really worried about that. So.
Your neighbor will be happy since your neighbor can't stand him
anymore. Oh, I hate Stanley. Yeah. It just barks a couple of times, and then I let it in the house, and that's it. I don't see
what is a couple times?
As soon as it barks. Well,
like 110 in a row?
Give or take. Give or take.
Because there is nothing more obnoxious on this planet than a neighborhood dog. And the people aren't home. They just leave him out, and he just barks all day.
No, I don't leave it out. No, it's just
for like
10
minutes. Who leaves their dog out all day?
Yeah, on a leash.
It's freezing out there. What the hell's wrong with you?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. There's a dog in our neighborhood in Jericho that barks a lot. Goes for about an hour. And it's like, where is their owner?
I hope that their owner doesn't keep it outside chained up for
maybe for an hour. I don't know.
That's not good.
No, that's not good at all.
Should I be talking to the Humane Society? Maybe the PETA folks will come by.
Yes, you should.
Glenn and Moncton, no slap shot that deserves a wow. No Glory Road, or I don't know what Glory Road is.
Glory Road's the one we talked about basketball. In hour one. The basketball movie with, I believe it's the all-black starting lineup.
Oh, and how about Wildcats with Goldie Hawn?
I don't even know what that is.
Is Bull Durham not in there?
No.
That's insane.
Oh, get out of here!
That's just a joke.
That's a joke now.
Neither is The Natural, which you hate.
I hate The Natural.
Yeah, I know you do.
I just hate The
Durham
Natural.
Not make it. Yeah. Top 64 movies.
32.
Dumbest right. movie ever, The Natural. You liked it, didn't you?
No, Natural's okay.
Jeez, what a waste of time that is. How long is it? If it's 2 hours and 30 minutes, I'll never get that time back in my life. Horrible there. All right, Brady, you found this list about the 20 most dominant athletes in the last 20 years.
Yeah, so ESPN put it out, the most 20 dominant athletes of the last 20 years. And interesting, Tiger Woods is number one, and there's all kinds of – look, there's a lot of impressive stats as to why people are where they are. Most of the people are individual sports.
Right.
So we start talking about Tiger and Federer and Serena Williams, Usain Bolt. So there's a lot of what you would expect to be individual sport athletes. But
are we going to guess top five? Because I'm
Tom like, Brady was number 20.
Wow. We barely made the list.
Tom Brady was the
20th. The best quarterback of all time barely made the list.
Right up there with that movie, top 32.
All right, so these are the top 20 most dominant athletes in the last 20 years. So obviously is Michael Jordan not going to make that list then?
Nope. He's not going to make that list.
LeBron is, obviously.
Yes. He's number two.
LeBron number two?
Yeah.
I've literally never heard of at least three of these people ahead of Tom Brady. See, the problem here is that you're talking about dominant athletes. So, A, it's one person playing mostly a non-team sport. Two, it doesn't count playoffs, which is huge.
It doesn't count playoffs.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. It says right here. No playoffs.
Really?
Well, there's no good way to compare playoffs across sports. Sure, there is, but it goes on to say that they didn't count it.
Yeah, what about championships? I mean, that takes away everything from Tom Brady. I mean, geez.
Tiger Woods has his majors included.
ESPN says the playoffs cannot be included in these completely subjective rankings.
So it's just what they do in, like, all the other stuff? I don't know.
So that's why number three makes a little bit more sense, but to put three ahead of Brady by 17 is ridiculous.
Well, are you trying to guess them, Arnie? Because I want to have a normal conversation here. Rich is talking about number three, and you're trying to guess them all.
No, go ahead. Just give us the top five.
All right. Tiger's number one. LeBron is two. Yeah. Peyton Manning is three. Jimmy Johnson of NASCAR is four. And then five is Roger Federer.
Peyton Manning is three. Tom Brady is 20. Huh?
No, you just said it didn't have to do with championships, so.
But I don't understand that because.
Still.
I don't understand that because in the team sports, you're not including championships because in the individual sports, you are including championships. We're talking about Federer's majors. We're talking about Tiger's majors. We're talking about Jimmy Johnson's wins in the Sprint Cup series. And we talk about Usain Bolt in the Olympics, which is championships also. So it's got to be that championships weren't included in the team sports.
And when you go ahead and take a look at numbers, I mean, should anybody in baseball really be in that list? Because in baseball, you're only succeeding, even if you're great, like a third of the time.
Right, but there's only one baseball player on the list. Two. Who's the second one?
Bonds and Trout.
Oh, Paul, I didn't see Trout. Okay.
You know, you're batting 350, big deal. I mean, throw it against all the other numbers, but I guess in basketball, you're shooting 40 or 50%.
You look at Bonds and Trout, how many championships have they won between the two of them? So you take out the playoffs and championships, and that helps them.
Look, number one, I think it's unfair, generally, to compare team sport athletes to individual sport athletes because you have in team sports, you are at mercy of what your teammates do in a lot of cases, whereas in individual sports, you are able to control everything yourself. That skews things in your favor. Yeah. You are able to control things yourself. That also in some ways is harder, but it also makes your triumphs even greater because you have nobody there to help you. So I understand this list being heavily dominated by individual sports. There's also in certain things, some of these individual sports have, some of them have multiple championships a year. Usain Bolt could win four gold medals in one Olympics. Roger Federer could win four majors. Tiger could win four majors in his heyday, whereas the Super Bowl, the World Series, the NBA Finals, they only come once per year. So that's going to skew it in your favor also. But if you're going to include the team sports, I don't understand how Peyton Manning is 17 more spots dominant than Tom Brady.
Well,
that's what I don't get.
Glenn and Moncton, Mike and Swanton, and everybody else that's texting in all want to know the same thing. Where's Phelps on that list?
He should be there, too.
He should be absolutely near the top.
I know that. That's what I don't understand.
So and Mark Spitz.
So we're taking away his Olympic medals? Is that what we're doing here?
I mean, how much more?
I can't understand
how
that.
How much more of an individual
really, yeah.
Accomplishment can you have more than Michael Phelps? He's not even on here. I mean, I get the Tiger Woods thing at the top. I mean, this is made for golfers, tennis players. People are out there on their own doing great. But when you've never heard it, who in the world is Marta?
Soccer player.
So it's just Marta, number 9.
Yes, like Pele.
Okay.
One name.
Who is Lauren Jackson?
She's a 13. WNBA player.
And oh, for crying
out
loud.
She's a WNBA player that I've never heard of, and she's the 13th greatest.
She's also an extremely successful international player with Australia.
Okay. I've literally never heard of her.
Yeah, I think they need to redo the list.
And who is Allison Felix?
A track runner, an Olympian.
Yes, okay. I knew that.
She was married, if I'm not mistaken, married to Aaron Ross.
I don't know that safety
for the Giants.
That I don't know, but I've heard her.
If
name
I'm not
before.
Mistaken, there is a track runner Olympian married to Aaron Ross. I don't know if it's Allison Felix.
And these people all ahead of Tom Brady, the best quarterback in the history of football. How about that?
And Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
Look, it's fine if you don't want to include football players high up in this list because they only play one side of the ball. They're dependent on teammates. I get that. But Brady and Manning should be closer to each other.
Yes.
If Manning can be 3, Brady needs to be in the top 5. And if Brady's going to be 20, then Manning needs to be down there too.
Yeah.
That I don't have a problem with the list for the most part, other than the discrepancy between Brady and Manning.
Right. And if you're talking about an individual category here, which what this is, how is Usain Bolt only number 10? And how is Michael Phelps not even on the list? I mean, Bolt should be in the top 5.
I've only seen him lose once. Seriously.
I hadn't even seen him lose once.
Yeah, one time he lost like a prelim or something like that.
From 2008 to 16, Bolt ran 21 Olympic or World Championship events and was first place in 19 of them.
Okay, so he lost twice.
His lone defeats came courtesy of a false start at the 2011 Worlds and a teammate's failed drug test in 2008.
There was a prelim race where he lost straight out to a United States runner. I forget the guy's name. And they made a big deal about that. Even if he's just racing kids on the sidewalk, he never loses this guy.
And pardon my stupidity on this because I don't know. But has Jimmy Johnson been that dominant of a NASCAR
yes.
driver that he can be the only person on this list that's even on the list that's a NASCAR driver and he's top 5? Has he been that dominant? Because, I mean, that's definitely an individual sport.
First-time texter said, what about boxers? Muhammad Ali. Well, Muhammad, this was born, it was the last 20 years.
Yeah, Floyd Mayweather. Okay. Floyd Mayweather is in this list. He's number 8.
Mike Tyson. But that was before.
Before the last 20
right,
years.
Right, before the last 20 years.
Floyd Mayweather.
Tyson has a share of losses, though.
Floyd Mayweather was number 8. He's in that list. And Manny Pacquiao is number 19.
Another first-time texter, Sonia Richards-Ross is married to Aaron Ross.
Ah, Sonia Richards-Ross, yes. Alex and Felix is a track runner, which, I mean, I was right about.
Yeah.
But Sonia Richards-Ross, another Olympic track runner, is married to former giant
Aaron
Ross.
That is from D in Essex.
All right, so look.
Yeah. You were close.
Everyone's saying I don't know who these people are, and I'm throwing out spouses. I thought it was pretty close.
Well, what about the – what's his face?
That'll help.
What's his face?
You talk about these
soccer
players.
Well, we determined his gender.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about these soccer. I mean, so Ronaldo and
Messi.
There. Oh, he is there?
All right, here's the list.
Yeah.
So you can stop guessing at it. So we went through the top 5. Number 6 is Annika Sorenstam. Look, just because you don't follow women's golf doesn't mean she can't
be.
Isn't she like 100 years old?
No, but golfers are made for this list.
Yeah.
I mean, is there more of an individual sport than golf?
Look, she hasn't been... The 10 years, so she hasn't even played in a decade.
That's what I'm about to say.
But the 10 years before that, she captured 43 of 72 wins and finished in the top 3 70% of the time.
Yeah, she was dominant.
I think she went to U of A. But.
She's made for this list.
Right. Michael Schumacher, who's a Formula One racer, so you talk about NASCAR, he's number 7. Then Floyd Mayweather is 8. Marta is number 9.
Marta.
Usain Bolt is 10. Messi is 11. Serena's 12, which that one seems a little low to me, considering how many championships she's won.
Much higher.
Lauren Jackson is 13. Ronaldo is 14. Novak Djokovic is 15. Allison Felix is 16. Barry Bonds is 17. Trout is 18. Pacquiao is 19. and Brady is 20.
Yeah, I'm surprised Brady even made the list.
Now. I'm surprised Rafael Nadal didn't make it. Novak Djokovic did. I guess because Djokovic was so dominant for a shorter period of time, though.
Big Mike and McGillicuddy's Jimmy Johnson should be higher, and definitely should. So should Tom Brady. He asked about Serena. But
Jimmy Johnson should be higher than 4. Well, I mean, the Peyton Manning thing is the ridiculous one.
Logan says, Johnson, yes, 7 championships in a time frame that doesn't account for individual race wins in multiple series.
So, okay, I just wondered if he was so dominant that he should be the only racer on the list and top 5. He's clearly the guy.
Here's what they say about Manning, okay? 539 passing touchdowns, an NFL record. 72,000 passing yards, also a league high. 186 wins at quarterback, which is the most in the NFL at the time of his retirement. Brady broke it this year. 539 touchdowns. He threw for at least 25 touchdowns in 16 seasons, which is 3 more than Brady. 71,940 yards. He racked up He racked up 4,000 yard seasons before they were popular, reaching it 14 times overall, which is more than any other quarterback. And every year from 99 to 2004, when no quarterback did it more than twice, 750 career winning percentage, basically, no one does that.
Oh, gee, just take somebody off the Harlem Globetrotters then.
No, but I mean, look, Peyton Manning was a guy who put up staggering stats for a very long time. And if you're taking a list like this where you're talking about individual performances and you're eliminating the playoffs, then Peyton Manning fits somewhere in there. I understand that. But if you're putting Peyton Manning at 3 and Brady at 20, that's absurd.
Gee, I'm surprised they didn't put any racehorses in there.
That's what I thought MARTA was.
JT in Burlington said, race car drivers, a dominant athlete? I just drove home. Is that considered a workout? And I don't know what Jake and Williston wrote. Can you figure that out?
Don't open that can of worms.
When Manning retired in 2016, he was the greatest regular season quarterback of all time. Most records, awards, etc. Also, Rich has said, is there a more individual sport about golf and swimming? They are also equal to one person.
Yeah.
Confused
about
that.
Isn't that what I just said?
I don't even know what
that means. I think golf and swimming are two major individual sports. That's what I said. Is that wrong?
No, the way
he says they are equal.
Okay, they're equal.
Okay. Yeah. But I mean, you're completely on your own in golf. It's all up to you.
No, you're right about that.
You're completely on your own in tennis and swimming also.
Yeah, well, unless you're playing doubles. Yes. Yeah.
They didn't have any jockeys on there? Unbelievable. All right, Brady, real quick, we got to get to the auction. Why don't you tell everybody how to go ahead and get to the auction?
Yeah, Champlain Valley Auction is back. We do it a few times a year, and it's really, if you're looking for gifts that are coming up, this is, graduation gifts are coming up, birthdays, anniversaries, just for yourself, this is the time of year that you want to get that done. You can go to ChamplainValleyAuction.com or just find the website or find the link on our website, 1013ESPN.com. You can save up to 75% or more on a ton of great deals, overnight stays, skiing, golf packages, dining, anything you could want is there. And Rich, for when it finally does get warm, how about a day full of golf, unlimited golf at Stowe Country Club with a cart and with all the practice balls that you want to hit? For just $52 worth of bidding starts.
And you could bid on Rich's job if you want. If you want to come in and sit for a day here on the huddle, you could bid on that also.
Is that worth $52?
Maybe like $7.
No, but that Stowe deal is unbelievable. That's at least $130 value. And it's not just it's getaways. It's tons of food. It's home and garden. You're going to need that stuff. It's places. It's fitness places, Arnie.
What are you looking at? Why do you say that to me?
Family fun. 878 restaurant certificates half price.
We should auction off your job. We should auction it off for a day. How about that?
Cool.
Have Rich's job for a day.
You can be in at 4 a.m. That'll
be fun.
Well,
you know what? You can have my job for a day if it's like on a Friday, so I can have a 3-day weekend. That'd be fun.
And the skiing. And right, can you imagine what it must have been like to be up there today? Oh, so envious. Ski and Ride 2018 into 2019. We got 15 certificates, specialty markets and foods. We got 79 certificates, so something
nice
for everyone.
All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Well, we'll talk about Ryan Donato's debut in Boston yesterday. It was a good one. And then Ellie Puryear is going to call into the show. Nice. National champion in the mile at the NCAA championships just a week and a half ago, and a Vermont native.
And Jake and Wilson clarifies, you keep saying, is there more than one sport, but you keep naming three. I think he's making a joke about it, is what it is. I don't know. We're all confused because we're all stupid here. So I swear,
people just sit at home and wait for us to screw up.
And you do it a lot, though.
Yeah.
That's why we went.
Luckily, I'm the only one who ever
that's
does.
That's why we don't do the mistake of the day anymore. We're giving away too much money. All right, all that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Tomorrow, Rich, Arnie, and Brady are back, and they're already starting to argue. The
All right, show just flying by. Good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. A super busy Tuesday afternoon. Brady, tell everybody what's coming up later on this segment because we want to get into Ryan Donato.
Well, in a couple minutes, we're going to talk with Ellie Puryear. She's going to call in. She's a Vermont native. She's from Montgomery, Vermont, Richford High School, so a very, very small area at the top of our listenership, but she is now the national champion. She won the national championship in the NCAA a week and a half ago. Indoor track. 4 minute, 31 second mile.
Wow. That's ridiculous.
I run it in four hours.
What's that?
I run it in 4 hours.
Yeah. You ever been to Richford?
I have not.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
So she's going to join us in a couple minutes.
It's definitely our first guest from Richford. Yes. I think that's safe to say. It's a pretty small place.
All right, give me a little audio from the Ryan Donato. Are you going to give me the goal?
Wenberg runs out of room because Carlo makes the check. Donato, two on two. The trailer crew back to Donato. He scores! Ryan Donato's first goal is a Boston Bruin.
First of many.
That was a blast.
It was a beautiful
play. I didn't think that was actually going to reach the goalie. I thought it was going to be off to the side, but that was a blast on that one.
They had a couple of beautiful goals. The Martian backhand up top shelf was a beauty as well, and it all didn't matter because the referee decided to go blind at the worst possible time.
This is going to be so cliche, but it just feels true in this case. He just has a feel for the game. It just feels like Donato has a feel for where the puck is and what to do with it at the right time. I mean, 26 goals in a truncated college season that he left for the Olympics, 5 goals in 5 games in the Olympics, led Team USA in scoring. He had 6 total points, if I'm not mistaken. He was unbelievable there. They had an odd man rush in that situation. I think it was a 3-on-2 or a 2-on-1. He delivers the pass back to Krejci, I think, who then flips it back to him. He one times it kind of falling away, you know, going back towards the boards left-handed. It was perfect.
Let me ask you this. I know nationally not everybody around the country was like, oh, my goodness, Donato's making a start for the Bruins. I'm sure it came under the radar. When's the last time we look forward to somebody's first start? I'm trying to think LeBron. And what he did, I'm trying to think.
Well, it's certainly been nothing quarterbacks. Like that, but I mean,
there's been quarterbacks.
Bruins, McAvoy last year.
No,
I mean,
that's not like
Johnny Manziel.
Well, Johnny Manziel, and he was horrible, was he?
When he came in,
but that was more of like a freak show, isn't it? More not how good is he going to do? It's more like he's going to explode or.
I think people were. Does it matter? You talk about. I think people are generally interested.
Right. Well, we wanted to see what Carson Wentz would do. That's a give me. We always want to see what the first or second pick in the draft does.
I think there was more interest around seeing Manziel when he came in. At the end of that one season, when he started opening day against the Jets, and he was actually playing pretty well early, I remember being very interested.
Because we didn't care about Michael Jordan, because Michael Jordan wasn't Michael Jordan, you know, when he came on in. He was good. He was great. But we didn't know he was going to be that great. So I'm trying to think when's the last time. I mean, I guess Ohtani. We're looking forward to that.
Yeah, Ohtani would be one, yeah.
The hitters on the other team are looking forward to it. But I don't know. It was, like you said, Brady, the thing that really impressed me, and I watched every second of that game.
By the way, Bryce Harper is the answer.
Oh, yeah, there you go, Bryce Harper. But that's baseball. Yeah.
And he just had a nose for the puck. I mean, you could just tell. I mean, you don't normally just go out there. And he was always around the net. And I think he led the team with 6 shots on goal. I think he had 5 of them in the first period. And it just seemed like every time they were close to scoring, 17 was right there.
And he had 2 assists. You don't score 26 goals. He was leading the NCAA at the time that he left for the Olympics. Then you don't lead Team USA, and you don't score almost instantly into your first NHL game without just being a guy who has a knack for scoring. He knows what to do with the puck.
Easier transition, I brought this up yesterday, from going to the college hockey to the NHL than I would think definitely from college baseball to the major leagues, but they've got the AAA. You know,
yes, so. College baseball is tough. College basketball, I mean.
No, that takes some time. It takes some time. It does. It takes even the best, even the top picks.
It depends on what you would determine to be success.
To reach their potential. You know, and football definitely takes time. There's
it would determine no what you, well, again, yeah. You don't know that either. Russell Wilson, RG3, they lit up the league year one.
Yeah, but
what I'm saying is they get better in time. Well, they that's
yeah, but
must
Donato's going to get ready better in time also.
And what if you always heard from college kids who go right, and generally hockey is that one sport where you literally go right from the college classroom onto the ice of an NHL arena, and in Donato's case, it was like a 2 or 3 day transition from Harvard's loss to Clarkson the other day in the ECAC tournament. They say it's the speed. That's the difference. They say the big thing you notice in the NHL is everything just moves faster. But he was not lost last night.
This I don't think this is on the same level as when Connor McDavid, those guys came in. And
well, Shane in Burlington says college stars rarely translate the way junior players do.
I'm not buying that so much. And what did Shane say? Arnie is wrong about the jump, though.
Said Mike Pallotta looked amazing for UVM hockey a few years ago and then looked lost in the league.
I'm sure that happens a lot.
Right, so he's saying that he's invalidating your point. You said, I think it's easier to jump from college NHL and play well.
But compared to the other leagues, not that there isn't
I think basketball is relatively easy to come and be impactful. If you are – look, even Lonzo, when Lonzo was struggling shooting – Lonzo still was a difference maker in terms of at least getting big assist numbers and playing defense.
Right.
Guys like Ben Simmons, who missed all of last year,
exactly.
I know, has come in and can score 17, 18 a game. Okay, even Jaylen Brown, 2 years in, is playing well with relatively no college. So LeBron's a freak, but I think basketball is relatively seamless for some of these guys.
Brady, go ahead and introduce our next guest. Tell everybody who's coming up.
Yeah, calling us now on the phone right now. Ellie Purrier, she's a Montgomery, Vermont native, a Richford High School graduate, and as we said at the top of the segment, a national champion in the mile run. Ellie, thank you for being with us. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Well, we're good as well. Not as good as a national champion, though, I have to imagine. Kind of take us through that moment when you crossed the finish line and you realized that you won the national title.
I wasn't really sure when I came across the line if I had gotten it or not. I was pretty sure, but I waited a second and looked up on the board, and Danny patted my back as it happened. And I mean, it was just a huge relief, but I was really happy.
Yeah. Now, you had come so close before, I think finished second 1 year in the event, third in another. What was it like to get over that, to get over that hump?
It's really rewarding, I guess. Like, I've worked really hard for this over my years here at UNH. It's my fourth time being in that race at that meet. So it was a lot of pressure, but I really, really wanted it at the end, and I made sure it happened. So, yeah, it meant a lot.
How do you feel physically after a race like that? I mean, I watched the race. I watched the end of the race. I watched your interview after the race. You could barely breathe. How do you feel physically after a race like that?
I guess just the adrenaline kicked in so much that, I feel fine. Like, I mean, immediately after, your legs are a little wobbly, but you get a few minutes in you and it's fine. But obviously, I was a little more tired when I came back in the 3K.
4 minutes, 31 seconds was was the exact time of your win. How mental is a race like the mile?
It's really mental. You have to be confident. You know, it's anybody's race. The mile can be like any day. It can be somebody different. So I think you have to go in knowing your capability and knowing that it's going to be strategic and not to waste your energy, fighting, but just getting good position.
Ellie Purrier, she's a senior runner at the University of New Hampshire, a national champion, and a Vermont native from Montgomery, Vermont, and Richford High School, and she's with us here inside the huddle. Let me ask you this. The thing that I always am amazed about running is that running is generally considered the form of punishment in most sports. How do you get into running to a point where you actually love it and embrace it?
I don't know. I guess I was just good at it, and that's how I got into it. But I don't know. I take my training serious, so I don't think of it as punishment. I think of it as training and helping me get better. And it's really fun when you're in shape. It's fun to run, and it's fun to run fast.
What's next for you? Because you're gonna graduate here. This is gonna be it for you at the University of New Hampshire. So what's next for a runner? The Olympics, professionals, what happens next?
Yeah, I think I'll have a professional career. It's, kind of different than other sports. It's a little more complicated and not a direct route, but I definitely see that in my future and something that I've been looking at, and, I'm excited about it. But Yeah.
Serious question. Are you able to make a living doing only competitive running? Are you going to have a, quote, career in addition to your career?
I don't know yet. You know, it depends on where I go and who I'm working with and all that. But I definitely don't think it's going to be, you know, my lifelong career. I think that, you know, you can only run so fast when, I mean, you can only run fast when you're younger. So, you know, it'll be my career for a little while. And then after that, I'll look into a different job, I guess.
You know, you talk about taking your training seriously. And one of the things I think that probably has to play a part in that is the fact that you are a nutrition major. And you mentioned being in shape. How does your studies in school help you kind of take your game to the next level? Because I imagine your studying helps your training and vice versa.
Definitely. I think sports nutrition was one of my favorite classes that I took here at UNH. It's just really relevant. It's easy to make the connections and to see the science behind, you know, the things that your coaches tell you and the things that when I work with the dietitian that she tells me. And, you know, being able to practice it myself and see it help my training is, you know, it's a huge reward.
Ellie Puryear with us here on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. As we said, Montgomery, Vermont native, Richford High School. What has the response been like from your home community to the success that you've had in addition to the national championship?
Oh, they've been amazing. You know, I went home immediately after nationals and I was just, you know, overwhelmed with so much support. And, you know, I went to the town meeting and I got an applause and it was just, you know, I almost started crying. It was great. You know, I couldn't thank them enough for all the support and honestly couldn't have done it without the, you know, the support that I have.
You know, we've had a lot of success stories from Vermont, whether it's University of Vermont basketball, Norwich women's hockey just won a national championship. Amanda Pelkey won a gold medal at the Olympics in women's ice hockey. What does it mean for you to be in that small fraternity of Vermont athletes that are really, really representing well on the national or international stage?
I mean, I'm just proud of where I am and where I grew up and the community that's raised me, you know, and I'm honored to be a part of that list.
Ellie, we'll get you out of here on this. This is one of my favorite questions to ask local athletes, but it's a little tougher in your case. I always ask people, when you're away at school, what's the food place you miss most? What's the place you're most excited to get back to? But Montgomery doesn't have that many restaurants, so is that an easy question or a harder question?
I mean, I have a favorite restaurant. It's the Belfry in Montgomery, but I think the food I miss the most when I'm here is the poutine.
Ellie Puryear, national champion in the mile, senior runner at the University of New Hampshire. I'd say enjoy some time off, but that's never the case because now we got the outdoor track and field season if the snow ever melts. So, Ellie, we appreciate the time, success, and good luck.
Thank you.
All right, there you go, Brady. Good local story. I don't know if you saw that, Rich, but definitely good local story.
And the Belfry. Wonderful. Man, that's an après ski spot after Jay Peak. So, yeah, absolutely.
good interview on that. By the way, what is coming up on Champlain Valley Game Night tonight?
Well, we're going to continue the local theme because we're going to talk with Rain Supple, who's a CVU graduate and a pitcher at Wake Forest. He's already got 2 wins and 3 saves for the Demon Deacons. He was drafted out of high school, so we'll talk to him.
All right, I'm looking forward to that. What do we got coming up next, though, first?
Daily spring training update. Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton graced the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Well, that's surprising. I didn't think they were going to make it. I'm shocked about that. That's coming up next right here on
Responsibly.
The Red Sox and Yankees have World Series dreams. But before they can head north, they're working on the backfields in the Florida heat. This is your daily spring training update on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, show just flying by. Welcome back. You're in the Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Time for your spring training update, Brady. Are we still like 10 months away from baseball?
What?
You guys are both just trolls. Really. Wow. Both just trolls.
That's bad, right?
Yes, that's bad.
I don't know how you could miss baseball when you have all this great spring training.
Baseball's coming back in 9 days, and we will be watching the Red Sox opener at RJ's. But it's not about the Red Sox today. It's about the Yankees. Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, they'll be on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I tell you, I am excited to read this lengthy profile on Stanton and how he got to the Yankees. Because basically, a little excerpt I read, he talked about just telling Derek Jeter off basically saying, I'm not going where you want me to go. Because remember, they had deals for him to the Giants and the Cardinals. And he said, no, I'll use my no-trade clause, and you will get me where I want to go.
Right.
And I will not just go where it's convenient for you.
I would have said the same damn thing to him.
And he won the staring contest. I'm excited to hear about it.
What would Rodriguez have...
Jeter,
what would he have done in return?
He could have just said, you're staying here.
No, I don't think so.
And you'll be the only piece on the roster.
Well, I think I got a bad shoulder. It's going to keep me out 6 months. Don't play that game with me.
The thing I like most is the fact that there's Yankees on the front cover of SI, the home of the Jinx. So, yeah, good. I mean, they picked the Yankees to make the World Series and to lose to the Nationals. They have not been right in many, many, many years, so good.
Well, Tom Brady beat the – did Tom Brady beat the Madden jinx? Because he was on the cover of Madden, and he did not get injured, but they did lose the Super Bowl. So I guess that's – I think that counts as him beating the Madden curse.
Yeah, that's beating the Madden curse. I wanted to ask you about – I'm surprised this doesn't happen often, or at least a lot more. Justin Turner out, broke his wrist, right? Did he break his wrist?
He broke his wrist, and the first report was he's going to be out a lot of weeks, but now now they're just saying not that bad, and he's going to be able to do some things soon.
Oh, he won't need surgery.
Yeah, won't need surgery.
Maybe a haircut would be a good start.
I always thought he was only going to be gone for like 2-3 weeks anyway, but I guess I was wrong on that at first.
Justin Turner, former Cal State Fullerton great.
Yeah, there you go.
Titans.
So... that's a tough injury.
Mets didn't even want him. That's like, it's okay.
You know, it's funny, speaking of that, so Justin Turner, he played for the Mets. Yeah. And
we'll pass on.
My college roommate won tickets to opening day from him through Twitter.
Oh, get out of here.
He did one of these things, first person to answer this question right wins opening day tickets. My college roommate got it, and, he didn't take me.
Oh, wow.
I had baseball, though, so I couldn't go.
Nice, nice. All right, what other spring training reports you got?
David Price pitched today. Grapefruit League action. 5 innings, 2 runs. I'm going to tell you in Champlain Valley Game Night how I think he is absolutely the key to this Red Sox season.
You're jumping on board on the Haskell train.
Yeah, he is the key to this season. This team, I look at the bullpen and say it's good. It's not as good as the Yankees. I look at the offense and say it can be good. It's not as good as the Yankees. I look at the pitching staff and say that's the spot where it's better than New York. But it's only better if Price gives you good numbers.
Right, because you can't count on Erod. He's going to be hurt, and probably won't even play half the season. Porcello, you have no idea what you're going to get. Sale, you absolutely know what you're going to get, at least for the first part of the three quarters of the season. So, yeah, I think their pitching staff is a little bit better than the Yankees. The Yankees are better offensively. So something, there's got to be a wild card somewhere in that mix between the two teams that you didn't see coming. And I think it's David Price.
I was more confident with the Red Sox going into last year. Much more confident than I am into this year. That's because maybe the Yankees weren't nearly as
good. Because the Yankees are much better this year.
And Price was expected to rebound from an okay season before.
We thought he was
going to. We have no idea what he is this year.
He's nothing. His career's done.
And real quick, they just announced Sale will start opening day, predictably. Price will start game 2, and Porcello will start game 3.
And Severino is opening for the Yankees, which is also highly expected.
But they don't play each other, so let's not confuse people there.
And how about that? The MLB actually got it right. The Red Sox are opening indoors for 3 games and then playing in Miami for the next couple. No chance of a rainout for the first week of the season.
And then the Yankees are playing in Toronto to start
the
season.
Out
so
there,
they'll also
be
indoors. But Buster Olney said that they didn't do that on purpose. They didn't do that because it's long been my complaint about the opening, opening day being snowed out in some places. Like, why on earth is Colorado hosting the opening game of the season? Buster said, luck of the draw.
It was so funny. I'm sitting there in just that glorious 87-degree, not a cloud in the sky weather, watching the Indians a couple of times last week out in the Phoenix area. I'm thinking to myself, 2 weeks from now, these guys are going to be wearing heavy winter jackets, and there's going to be snowfall.
How were the crowds out there, by the way? You never said. Was it sold out?
Some of them did well. It was random. I mean, most of the parks had, I would say, 3/4 full.
Okay, so they had good attendance. That's not bad for spring training baseball.
No. No, it's good. And, of course, it's a...
How much were tickets? Did you go see the Cubs? The Cub tickets?
No, Cubs are out of reach. It's $40 to start. I'm not sitting on the grass for $40.
You can go to 6 Coyote games for $40.
I just about did.
Jeez,
I spent $15 for 2 Coyote NHL games. $15 total.
$7.50 a ticket.
Yeah.
There you go.
7 and 8, yeah.
There you go. I'm sure there were good seats, too, right there on the glass.
They were wherever I wanted to end up, actually.
Exactly. We'll come back. Last story standing. That's next as we wrap up the show here at 101.3 ESPN.
time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, last story standing, kind of like semi-breaking news. We gave it to you at the top of the hour. Here's the latest on Kyrie. Why don't you tell us, Brady?
Kyrie's knee not doing so well right now. He's failing to make progress. He's going to travel for a second opinion. That comes from Shams Charania. Adam Kaufman, who covers the Celtics pretty religiously, adds in, this isn't a good situation for the Celtics. Expect Kyrie to get a lot of rest throughout the rest of the regular season if he comes back at all this year. Surgery is obviously still on the table, as it seemingly has been for a year or so.
Ouch.
Have you ever seen a more promising season just go right off a cliff as quickly as the Boston Celtics have in the last 3 weeks?
They could lose in the first round.
I mean, they are the main Red Claws right now playing there. I mean,
I'm stunned.
No, they absolutely could lose in the first round. The whole thing has just gone right up in flames with injuries. It's unbelievable. Something far more important, though.
Yes,
I dug in
yes.
to get this. Einstein Brothers Bagels. I don't know if you heard about this, guys. And Arnie, I guess this doesn't really apply to you, but it has a new bacon and egg sandwich, but that part does. And to promote it, they're creating a shampoo that smells like eggs, which maybe you could use since you take 7 showers a day.
I shampoo my hair.
And a conditioner that smells like bacon. Seriously.
Do they have one that smells like spaghetti and meatballs?
Oh,
like that.
Shampoo that smells like eggs, conditioner that smells like bacon. So, yeah, your hair could smell like breakfast all day.
I would take chicken wing shampoo.
Do you know, I got to tell you.
Who's going to put that on your hair?
Bacon is overrated. I like bacon, but not to the infatuation of, like, that people enjoy bacon.
Yeah, bacon is completely overrated.
It just works on everything.
No,
really? I just saw the turkey sandwich I had before the show. It's nothing
okay,
but bacon.
So a couple of slices of bacon, but there's some people who will bathe in bacon. They just love it. Everything. Put bacon on everything.
Well, if it sounds good to you, you can buy both of them, and it's a pretty good deal when you think about it. It's not often you can get shampoo and conditioner that smells like breakfast. $10, einsteinbrothers.com/smelledible.
I'm there.
Yeah, I don't think bacon's. It's
overrated.
It's not bad, but
it's not
certainly
it's not
overrated.
As great as everybody makes it.
But
out
I'll
to
bet
me.
It's excellent conditioner.
All right, look, I like I said, I gave Brady a half day tomorrow and 2 days off Thursday, Friday. So I felt bad that I'm overworking him. But Brady, what is coming up on Champlain Valley Game Night tonight?
We'll talk to you about a move that the New York Giants made, and do the Patriots have the biggest need in all of the NFL right now? One NFL writer thinks so.
They got a lot of needs. We certainly know that. That's for damn sure. All right, wrapping it up for Brady and for Rich. I'm Arnie Shem.
Hey, intern Logan.
Intern Logan was here. I forgot. Totally forgot.
And yesterday you forgot intern Nathan.
I didn't ever saw intern Nathan. You never told me when I was wrapping it up.
Well.
All right, and for intern Logan, for Brady and Rich and Arnie, there you go. Champlain Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.